Hey, you. Ever catch yourself thinking, why do I always fall into the same relationship patterns? Or maybe, how come I always end up with the same kind of job? It's like there's this hidden script running in the background, and guess what? You're the star, ready to rewrite the script.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're going deep, really deep, into the world of the unconscious mind. You know that saying, it's all in your head? Well, it turns out a huge chunk of our thoughts, the way we act, even who we're drawn to, it's all driven by stuff we're not even aware of.
Yeah, and get this, those first few years of life, like 0 to 4, total boot camp for your unconscious.
It's true. And that's why it's so hard to remember stuff from back then. It's like you know something happened, but the details are fuzzy.
Right, like a blurry photo. And what's fascinating is that the author who's sharing all this wisdom from a last lecture point of view says it's like our unconscious is calling the shots, even if we don't realize it. And here's the kicker, even if those early experiences weren't great, we're still drawn to familiar patterns. It's like our unconscious is saying, hey, I know this place, been there, done that.
Exactly. It's like we have this internal blueprint that was created way back then,
Yeah.
and it's shaping our relationships, our decisions, everything. It even affects how we react to things emotionally. Think about it.
Yeah.
Do you ever notice you're drawn to a certain type?
Oh,
Or
tell me.
maybe you feel more comfortable in certain situations than others?
All the time.
Well, that, my friend, is the unconscious at work. It's the why behind those tendencies. And one of the biggest ways this plays out is in our attachment styles.
Okay, attachment styles. This is where things get really interesting. So basically, it's how we learn to connect with people, to be close way back when we were kids.
Like how we learn to love and be loved.
Exactly. It's like a love language, but for connection.
I like that.
So you've got your avoidant types who kind of shy away from intimacy. They always need their space. Then there's the secure folks. They're all about connection, but they're cool if things change. And then you have the anxious attachment style. They're worried about being alone, maybe even a bit, clingy.
And often, we're totally unaware of this. We don't realize why we keep picking the same kind of partners, or why we pull away when things get too close.
It's all happening under the surface. The author says that people with opposite attachment styles, total recipe for disaster.
You can say that again, they drive each other crazy.
Because think about it. If you have an avoidance style, you might actually be attracted to someone who's super clingy.
Because it feels
It's
familiar.
like a comfort zone, even if it's causing a ton of drama.
Exactly. Our unconscious mind is pulling us toward what it knows, even if it's not good for us.
So what can we do about it?
Awareness is key. Once you understand your own attachment style and the patterns you fall into, you can start making conscious choices.
You can break free from that old script and choose relationships, whether it's with a partner, a friend, family, whoever, that help you grow instead of keeping you stuck.
It's about writing a new story.
Okay, let's shift gears for a second and talk about shame versus guilt. This is huge. So, guilt is that voice inside that says, that wasn't cool. Try not to do that again.
We've all been there.
Right. But shame's a whole other beast. It's like that voice that says, you are worthless, you'll never be good enough.
Brutal, right?
Totally. And the author says shame is often at the root of really destructive behavior, things like addiction. And guess what? It all goes back to those early experiences we were talking about.
Makes sense, though, right? If you internalize those negative messages early on, they can really mess you up.
Exactly. Shame is so powerful, and it's often tied to this feeling of being unworthy, like you're inherently flawed.
It's like having this constant critic in your head who's always putting you down. And that's why the author talks about confronting those feelings head on.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing that inner critic and replacing it with a more supportive, compassionate voice.
It's like the difference between a friend who says, hey, you messed up, but it's okay. We all make mistakes. And a bully who just keeps saying, you're a loser.
Exactly.
So, how do we actually do that? How do we tap into this unconscious world and start rewriting the script?
Well, the author talks about a bunch of techniques, but a good place to start is with your memories. Think back to those early experiences. How did you feel about yourself, about the world? What were your caretakers like? Were they loving and supportive, or critical and distant?
And then see if you can spot any patterns. Like, are there similarities between those early relationships and the relationships you have now? It's like detective work, right? You're looking for clues to understand why you do the things you do.
Exactly. It's about connecting the dots between your past and your present. And don't be afraid to get curious about your reactions to things. Why do certain things trigger you? Why do you feel certain ways in certain situations? It's all valuable information.
It's all part of the puzzle, right?
It is. And sometimes those memories can be really intense and painful, but the author says we don't have to be defined by them. She actually suggests writing a new story, a more empowering one, to replace the old script.
So instead of replaying those negative experiences over and over in your mind, you can consciously choose to focus on a different narrative.
It's about rewriting your inner dialogue, replacing those negative beliefs with positive, compassionate ones. It's like you become the director of your own internal movie.
I like that. It's about taking control of the story you're telling yourself. And the author says there are tons of ways to do this, but we'll get into those a little bit later in the deep dive.
For now, just start to notice how your unconscious mind might be shaping your life.
It's not about being afraid of it, but understanding it so you can harness its power.
Exactly. It's about becoming conscious creators of our own lives. You know, when we talk about the unconscious mind, it's easy to get caught up in those big dramatic moments, the stuff that really leaves a mark.
Right, the defining moments, the traumas, the big breakthroughs.
But the author argues that it's often the subtler, more everyday experiences that really shape us.
It's like life is happening in the in-between moments too, right?
Exactly. And one of those in-between yet universal experiences is grief.
Grief. Man, that's a tough one.
It is. And the author doesn't shy away from the rawness of it, from the deep sense of longing that can feel almost impossible to process.
Yeah, it can be completely overwhelming. And it's different for everyone.
Exactly. And the author really emphasizes that there's no right or wrong way to grieve.
There's no roadmap for this.
No, not really. It's about honoring your own process, whatever that looks like.
She also talks about the importance of allowing yourself to feel it fully.
Yes. And resisting the urge to rush through it or pretend it's not happening. It's about letting yourself be present with the pain.
Which is so hard.
It is incredibly hard.
Yeah.
But the author argues that by allowing ourselves to feel those feelings fully, we can begin to heal.
It's like we have to move through it, not around it.
Exactly.
You know, one thing that really struck me was the story she shared about finding a ring after her partner passed away. And it felt like this sign, like a way to keep the connection alive, even though he was physically gone.
It's amazing how these seemingly small things can be so powerful.
Right. And it made me think about how differently we all experience grief. Like, what might be comforting to one person could be really upsetting to someone else.
Absolutely. Everyone grieves in their own way, in their own time.
Yeah.
There's no one-size-fits-all approach.
So we've talked about the mind a lot. But the author also talks about energy, which I have to admit, I was a little skeptical about at first.
A lot of people are. It can sound a little, you know, out there.
Exactly. But she's not just talking about feeling energized or tired, right? She's talking about vibrations.
Right. It's deeper than that. It's more about the kind of energy we're putting out into the world and how that energy impacts us and the people around us.
Okay. So break it down for me. What exactly are vibrations in this context?
So imagine for a second that you're radiating a certain energy out into the world. Like a wave.
Okay, I'm kind of visualizing it.
The author argues that the things you focus on, the kind of energy you put out, whether it's positive or negative, is what you'll attract back to your life.
It's like that saying, what goes around comes around.
Exactly. Or like attracts like. So if you're constantly putting out negative vibes, you're more likely to attract negative experiences.
But if you focus on the good stuff, gratitude, love, all that jazz, you're more likely to attract more of those good vibes.
Right. It's like you're putting out a request to the universe. What kind of energy do you want to invite into your life?
Okay, so let's get practical. How do we actually raise our vibration?
Well, the author talks about becoming aware of our thoughts. We already touched on that a bit, but it's really important in this context. Are you constantly dwelling on negativity? Can you shift your focus to something more positive, even just for a few minutes?
It's like changing the channel in your mind, right?
Yeah.
From doom and gloom to something a little more uplifting.
Exactly. And another thing the author emphasizes is the power of self-care. Taking care of your physical, mental, and emotional well-being is huge.
So things like getting enough sleep, eating healthy foods, moving our bodies, that all ties into raising our vibration.
It all plays a role. And don't forget about connecting with nature. Spending time outdoors can be incredibly grounding and energizing.
It's like hitting the reset button, right?
Exactly. Surround yourself with positive people. Engage in activities that light you up. These things all contribute to a higher vibration.
You know, thinking back, there have definitely been times when I've felt really drained and negative. And then there are those times when you're just buzzing with positive energy and it really is like a totally different frequency. It's palpable, right? You can feel the difference.
It's like you're radiating something totally different.
And the author talks about how that energy is contagious. When you're vibrating at a higher frequency, you uplift the people around you. And vice versa. When you're around positive people, you can't help but feel that energy.
Okay, I'm convinced I need to raise my vibration. But before we move on, I want to circle back to something else the author talks about that really resonated with me. Values.
Values are so important. They're like your guiding principles.
Right. And she's not saying these are the values you should have. She's all about each person defining what matters most to them.
It's about figuring out what you stand for, what kind of person you want to be.
It's like your own personal code of conduct.
That's right. Exactly. And once you're clear on your values, it can make decision-making so much easier.
Because you have that internal compass to guide you.
Exactly. When you're faced with a choice, you can ask yourself, does this align with my values? Does it feel right?
It's about staying true to yourself.
Yeah.
Even when it's hard. Yes. And she talks about values like honesty, trust, commitment, forgiveness, kindness. But again, it's not about adopting her values. It's about discovering what resonates with you.
So it's about looking inward and saying, okay, what's truly important to me?
Exactly. What matters most?
And she also says, it's okay if your values are different from other people's. In fact, it's what makes you unique.
Your values are yours. It's about honoring your own truth.
And, you know, it makes sense that if you're living in alignment with your values, you're probably going to feel more fulfilled, more authentic.
Absolutely.
So if you're feeling lost or unsure, or even if you're just looking for more direction in your life, revisiting your values can be so grounding.
It can be really clarifying.
Okay, so we've covered a lot. We've talked about grief, energy, values. Where should we head next?
Well, since we're talking about living an authentic and aligned life, I think it's time to dive into relationships.
Okay, relationships, let's be honest, they can be tough.
Oh, yeah. They can be amazing for sure. But they can also be one of the most challenging parts of being human.
And let's not sugarcoat it. Sometimes they can be downright toxic. Ugh. Just thinking about it makes my energy dip a bit.
Right. Toxic relationships, they're like energy vampires. Right. The author talks about how they often stem from fear. Like, we're afraid to be alone, or maybe we're afraid of what people will think if we leave.
It's like we'd rather stay stuck in a bad situation than face those fears.
It's easier to stay in the familiar, even if it's hurting us.
But she's all about setting those boundaries, protecting your own energy. Because you can't pour from an empty cup, right?
100%.
Yeah.
And sometimes self-care means creating distance from those energy vampires in our lives. Tough, but often necessary.
Okay, so how do we even know if a relationship is toxic?
Well, the author talks about some red flags to watch out for, stuff like constant criticism, you know, like you're never good enough.
Ouch, yeah.
Or negativity, like that person who just sucks the joy out of everything.
The emotional downers.
Exactly. Or if you're dealing with manipulation, controlling behavior, those are big red flags too.
And sometimes it's not super obvious, right? Like maybe it's a slow burn and you don't even realize how much it's affecting you until you create some space.
It can be really subtle, but your body knows. Pay attention to how you feel when you're around that person. Do you feel energized and uplifted, or drained and depleted?
It's like our intuition is screaming at us, but sometimes we don't want to listen.
We're really good at ignoring those gut feelings sometimes, but it's important to pay attention.
So important. Now, on the flip side, how about healthy relationships? Because the author has some really great insights on how to cultivate those.
She does. And a big one she emphasizes is communication. Really being open and honest about your needs and feelings, and truly listening.
It's a two-way street, right?
100%. And being willing to meet your partner's needs without completely sacrificing your own.
It's about finding that balance. So much of this is about balance, isn't it?
It really is. And it takes effort. Building a healthy relationship is a constant work in progress, but so worth it.
Okay, we've talked about the unconscious, we've talked about relationships, energy, values, even grief. I mean, this book is packed. But there's one more thing I want to make sure we touch on. The author shares these 36 nuggets of wisdom, things that she believes can make life better.
Those were great.
Yeah.
Like little life hacks for happiness.
Totally. And one that really hit home for me was about embracing imperfection.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
We're so conditioned to strive for perfection, but she's saying, hey, it's in those imperfections that we find our true beauty.
It's like that Leonard Cohen lyric. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in.
Yes. Our flaws, they're what make us unique. They make us human.
And self-acceptance. That's the key to really living a fulfilling life, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. When you can accept yourself, flaws and all, it's like this huge weight lifts off your shoulders.
It frees you to be your authentic self.
Another one of those wisdom nuggets that really hit home for me was about living in the present moment.
Oh, being present. Easier said than done, though, right?
So easy to get caught up in regrets about the past or worries about the future. But she's reminding us, the only moment we truly have is now.
And mindfulness is a really powerful tool for that, even if it's just for a few minutes a day.
It's like hit the pause button on that constant mental chatter and just be here now.
It's like a muscle you have to keep working out.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets easier.
Okay, so as we wrap up this deep dive, what's one last takeaway, one last nugget you'd like to leave our listener with?
That's a good one. I think it's the importance of intuition, that inner voice that guides us, even if we can't always explain it logically.
I love that, because sometimes the best decisions come from trusting your gut feeling, even if your head is telling you something different.
Exactly. Listen to your intuition. Yeah. She'll be trying to tell you something important.
So, to everyone listening, what's one small step you can take today to connect with your intuition, to listen to that inner voice? What feels aligned with your heart, even if it scares you a little?
Because as we've been exploring today, you have the power to create a life that feels aligned, authentic, and joyful.
It's all about uncovering that power within.
Keep exploring. Keep growing.
And keep diving deep.